Shabbat shalom. We spent an inspiring 10 days praying for forgiveness and celebrating the new year. We gathered together, we expressed feelings of remorse over last year's misdeeds, and lifted our voices in hope for a better year ahead. But what happens the day after Yom Kippur? In the secular calendar, on New Year's Day, we make all kinds of resolutions. On January 1st, gym memberships skyrocket. Weight Watchers franchises set up extra chairs, expecting the usual onslaught of New Year's members. But as we all know, these New Year's resolutions made with passion weaken in the face of day-to-day realities. Similarly, on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we reaffirm our core beliefs to strive to improve in the coming year. We recommit ourselves to trying to be more mindful, or we might set an inner resolve to only speak kindly to those we love. We might make a promise to ourselves to find more outlets for our spiritual growth. We spend the high holidays making amends, clearing out the clutter, and realigning with our values. At the end of Yom Kippur, it is as if we have a fresh, clean slate. Until a few hours later, we might get aggravated and utter our first unkind words of the year. And a few days later, we may simply forget that we wanted to bring more spirituality into our lives and forgo attending synagogue or streaming, as you can see some of us did. And a few weeks later, we may notice that we are ignoring our spouse while he speaks about his day and instead find ourselves scrolling through our emails, uttering, every now and again to seem like we're actually listening when really we're not. We find out quickly that we cannot achieve all of our high holy day goals to remain aligned to our deepest ethics and values. We cannot keep our slate clean for too long. It's a teeter-totter act. We take a step forward and then one back. We take some more steps forward, followed by a couple steps back, and so on. And it can be disheartening when we fall back into old habits that we prayed we would change. But don't let this frustrate you. In fact, these feelings, whether disappointment, anger, or even shame with ourselves, can be a gift. To be clear, I'm not referring to depression, generalized anxiety, or misfortune, but rather the negativity we may feel in response to our not living up to our personal ideals. These feelings of frustration can actually be informative. They give us clues about how we really want to grow. One of the things that I love about Judaism is that this concept that we are not perfect is woven right in. Judaism expects us to falter along the way and to outright fail from time to time. Our sages tell us it is not up to us to finish the work, but we cannot stop trying. While most of the time we interpret this statement as referring to social justice work, it also applies to our internal work. We will never be able to fulfill all of our hopes. We will never live up to our personal ideals. Our potential is always unfolding. We always have more to achieve. It's like when children are trying to learn a concept in school, and their parents say, "If you knew everything already, you wouldn't need to go to school." Furthermore, if we already knew everything, life would be a complete bore. There is always more to learn, and life is infinitely interesting when we keep ourselves open to wonder. We won't finish. We will never be perfect, but we cannot stop striving. We pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and keep going. There is a Hasidic teaching that we are to carry two slips of paper, one in each pocket. One says, "For my sake, the world was created." The other says, "I am but dust and ashes." We may find ourselves oscillating between these two poles, feeling either puffed up with arrogance when we are successful or feeling low when we are not. Both cloud our judgment. Moses was the greatest leader and prophet in the Bible. 80% of the Torah is devoted to the happenings during his lifetime. But what does the Torah tell us about Moses? Not that he was proud, strong, brilliant, or ahead of his time. Rather, the Torah describes Moses as Ish Anav, a humble man. Humility is not self-depreciation, nor is humility just diminishing ourselves. Rather, humility takes confidence, strength, and a sense of security. Humility enables us to admit we do not have all the answers. Humility allows us to own our mistakes and move on from them with grace and courage. Judaism teaches us that we need to approach our power and self-worth with humility, and this is how we find balance. Yet sometimes we are unable to strike a balance. We get caught up in feelings of frustration at our failure to reach our core values that we set up for ourselves. Maybe we behave in ways we regret, and we aren't living up to our expectations. Yom Kippur has already passed, and perhaps we feel the weight of these fresh sins. Yet we should not despair. Our sages tell us, the gates are always open for repentance. Keep up the practice. Don't just do it on one day. Just like on Yom Kippur, keep asking for forgiveness and forgive others. Keep working to realign with your core values. Although the internal work we do between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is important, in some ways, what happens between Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah is even more important. We are just about to start the festival of Sukkot. We eat in a rickety structure that may blow away or get rained upon at any time. Yet it is also a time of abundance, being the festival of the harvest. It is no accident that Sukkot falls on the heels of Yom Kippur. The festival is a brilliant reminder that we are vulnerable, and humility is a central aspect to being human. We have an entire year before the high holiday season begins again. May we tap into the energy, strength, and conviction of these past days of reflection and prayer, and keep moving ahead towards our ideals with humility and compassion for ourselves and others. May it be so.